Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to the debut episode of Spartan Life Radio here on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you for joining us. I'm Michael Cotter, your host for this first episode of Spartan Life Radio. I serve as the director of the Spartan Success Writing Center, and I'm also a member of the faculty in the English and Foreign Languages Department at Norfolk State University. And I actually do double duty because I teach in the Mass Communications and Journalism Department. I've been at Norfolk State for more than 20 years, so it is my pleasure to be hosting something like this to bring you the information that you can use. Smart Life Radio is an interactive way to learn about a variety of topics that are of importance and interest to the NSU family and community. Spartan Life Radio will air bi-monthly with news that you can actually use and reliable information about university operations, teaching excellence. We'll be giving you updates on accreditation, student success stories. We also have information about exciting faculty research and much, much more. Spartan Life Radio will air twice each month on Thursdays at 1 p.m., so listen in or join the conversation by calling 1-347-850-8515. Got something on your mind? We want to hear from you. So join the conversation by calling again, 1-347-850-8515. That number again, please jot it down, 1-347-850-8515. And you can also listen via your laptop by logging on to blogtalkradio.com/Spartan Life. And you can follow us on Blog Talk Radio and get alerts about new episodes of Spartan Life Radio. So if you're one of those people who can't listen to the live broadcast, no worries. You can listen on demand at blogtalkradio.com/Spartan Life. That's blogtalkradio.com/Spartan Life. So for a complete list of our upcoming and archived episodes, check out the website, again, at blogtalkradio.com/Spartan Life. And if you have any ideas for upcoming episodes, please give us a call at 757-823-8373. That number again, 757-823-8373. We want to hear from you. Next up, your Spartan Life news briefs. With the completion of its 2014 financial audit, Norfolk State becomes one of only four public universities in the Commonwealth to have accomplished this task. Audits from 2011, 2012, and 2013 have also been completed. University officials have now started the 2015 financial audit. As you may recall, uncompleted audits were one of the issues cited in the Sachs Commission on Colleges report. Eddie N. Moore, Jr., NSU's interim president and CEO, said that he anticipates a very successful meeting with the Sachs team in October, and he is confident that efforts to address the concerns raised by Sachs will serve to remove the institution from probation in December. The 2015 AAU Junior Olympic Games are coming to NSU July 29th through August the 8th. The event is the largest national multi-sport competition for youth in the United States. About 15,000 youth athletes ages 7 to 17 from around the country will compete in 20 sporting events throughout the region. Get your tickets now for the stage musical Lady Day at Emerson's Bar and Grill. Produced by the NSU Theater Company, the show opens Friday, June 26th at 8 p.m. For details, visit www.nsu.edu. NSU recently held its first Mandela Summer Democracy Institute, a week-long conference designed to create direct access between the Hampton Roads community and South Africa. The conference was sponsored by the International Studies and Service Learning and the Friends of South Africa organization. Dr. Mikhail A. Naganov, a professor and researcher in NSU's Department of Physics and the Center for Materials Research, was recently named as one of Virginia's outstanding scientists for 2015 by Governor Terry McAuliffe. Dr. Naganov is credited for his cutting-edge research in the areas of metamaterials, nanoplasmonics, random lasers, solid-state laser materials, and nonlinear optics. NSU recently celebrated the dedicated service of 134 employees during the Employee Services Award program held earlier this month. Employees were honored for their service from 5 years to 50 years. Yes, NSU had one employee who has served the university and the Commonwealth for 50 years. Congratulations to you all for a job well done. The Virginia Cybersecurity Commission will hold a town hall meeting June 9th on campus. The purpose of the town hall series is to introduce the public to the mission of the Virginia Cybersecurity Commission. Each town hall meeting features a keynote speaker, panel discussions, and a Q&A session. To register, please go to cyberva.virginia.gov. Let me just give that to you. It's cyberva.virginia.gov. Those are your Spartan Life News Briefs. Norfolk State University was founded in 1935 and is celebrating its 80th anniversary this year. The NSU Drama Department is almost as old as the university itself, having been around since 1937. During that spring, the college presented a three-act play titled Green Ghost in the auditorium at Booker T. Washington High School. But today, the NSU Theater Department has gotten a new lease on life, and we're going to be talking to the man responsible for this renaissance. So after this message, I want you to stay with us because we will be right back.
Alcohol poisoning is caused by binge drinking large quantities of alcohol in a short period of time. Very high levels of alcohol in the body can shut down critical areas of the brain that control breathing, heart rate, and body temperature, resulting in death. Alcohol poisoning deaths affect people of all ages, but are most common among middle-aged adults. In the United States, an average of 6 people die every day from alcohol poisoning. Most of the deaths are among men. States and communities can support proven programs and policies to prevent binge drinking. Healthcare providers can screen all adult patients for binge drinking and counsel those who do to drink less. Don't binge drink. If you choose to drink, do so in moderation, up to 1 drink a day for women or 2 drinks a day for men. To learn more, visit cdc.gov/vital signs.
I want to welcome you back to the debut of Spartan Life Radio. Thank you for staying with us. We're talking about the rebirth of Norfolk State University's theater department, so thanks for joining us. Again, if you want to talk to our guest or comment on the topic, give us a call at Spartan Life Radio at 1-347-850-8515. That's 1-347-850-8515. Now, as we mentioned at the top of the show, NSU's theater department has been around since 1937. The first production at the Norfolk Division of Virginia State, which later became Norfolk State University, was The Damask Cheek in 1944. Now, during the next 12 years, various drama directors helped to firmly establish drama as an integral part of the university curricula and as a cultural activity for the community. In the late 1960s, NSU theater productions were centered in the Black experience, using the inner city as the backdrop. Did you know that Tim Reed of WKRP fame in Cincinnati, Frank's play, Sister, Sister, that he once graced the NSU stage? And by the way, this drama department short history lesson is brought to you by the NSU Archives via the book Upward, The History of Norfolk State University, written by Lyman Beecher Brooks. If you want to join today's conversation, again, give us a call at Spartan Life Radio at 1-347-850-8515. Today our guest is Professor Anthony Stockard. He's the Director of Theater and Associate Professor of Drama at Norfolk State University. Professor Stockard is completing his first year at NSU as the new director of theater, and prior to coming to NSU, he spent 5 years as an associate professor of theater arts at Alabama State University. And since his arrival at NSU, Stockard has directed and produced critically acclaimed productions, including the NSU box office record-breaking production of Dreamgirls, which I happen to have seen. It was an excellent, excellent production. His production of The Brothers' Size was recently announced as an official selection for the 2015 National Black Theater Festival, and Professor Stockard will be talking to us about that more in just a little bit. Stockard is a professional director and award-winning actor who holds affiliations and memberships with the Stage Directors and Choreographers Society, the Actors Equity Association, and the Screen Actors Guild, among others. Let's just welcome Professor Stockard.
How you doing?
Doing real well. Glad to have you with us. Glad you're here with us to share some exciting news about theater going forward. We're excited to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. To our listeners, you're listening to Spartan Life Radio. If you'd like to join the discussion or if you have a question, call us at area code 347-850-8515 or listen live at blogtalkradio.com/Spartan Life. Professor Stockard, we only have a brief introduction of you, so I'd just like you to tell us a little bit more about your background and your experiences before coming to Norfolk State University.
Well, I studied theater in undergraduate school at Alabama State. That's actually my alma mater. I studied a little bit of classical training at the Alabama Shakespeare Festival. I went to grad school in Boston at Brandeis University. And after graduating from there, I spent some time in New York doing regional theater, off-Broadway, television, and film. And I was presented with an opportunity to go back to Alabama to become the artistic director of a professional company in Birmingham, Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And I spent some time there. And then my former theater professor, chair, asked me to come back to teach at the university. And when she presented me with that opportunity, I went ahead and was doing both at the same time, actually. It was commuting back and forth between Birmingham and Montgomery for teaching at the university and running the theater company. But eventually, I sort of felt that my real niche was in education. So I moved away from the company and committed full-time to my alma mater. And that is... That's kind of what brought me into the educational field.
Okay, then that really has to be a commitment because you take yourself out of enclaves like in New York City where you may either be doing Broadway or off-Broadway productions, and then you find that your niche, your calling, as you say, is at the university level to give that talent, that ability to a lot of young people who are aspiring actors and actresses. So that's excellent. So next week, the question is going to be, what made you decide to come to Norfolk State University as its theater director?
I actually had no plans on going anywhere where I was at. It was my alma mater. I felt very honored and privileged to have the ability to go back and teach there.
Mm-hmm.
But I did have a little short list of things in my back pocket. I said if an opportunity like this presented itself, I would definitely at least consider it. And some of those things were it would absolutely have to be another HBCU. It would have to be something that needed to have some growth and development so I could take all of, you know, what I've accumulated professionally and in education to go ahead and apply that to, you know, develop something. I like to be a part of creating new things, developing new ways of doing things, and I'm not really big on walking into be another cog in the wheel of something that is already running extremely efficiently. And I wanted it to be in an area, you know, a metropolitan area. There was a lot of things on my list. And I was actually at the Kennedy Center with my students at the university I taught at before I came here. And when a friend told me about the opportunity, I sort of just did a impromptu drive from Washington, D.C. to Norfolk to sort of check the campus out. I talked to students and people like that hadn't formally applied or, you know, tried to be considered for the position. And I was just taken back by the beauty of all the new developments on campus with the buildings. The students seem to be very excited about the idea of arts and culture and expressing themselves. And, of course, there was the component of having new facilities being in the works. So all of those things were what made me throw my name in the hat. And I am honored and happy to be serving as the new director of theater at the university.
I am so happy to hear you say that, because you know what? We are having this rebirth, as you pointed out. We have a new Brown Hall. For our radio, for our listeners who know anything about the university and its history, Brown Hall is not only undergoing a renovation, but it is actually getting a facelift from the ground up. And we have a new nursing general education building and a new library, and things are happening at Norfolk State University, and your coming in at this time is only an extension of that growth. And
absolutely.
And certainly we talked about this a little bit earlier. I mentioned this, that you know, you had this production of Dreamgirls, which broke NSU box office records. That was amazing. I'm not going to steal your thunder. I want you to tell the listeners just how that happened, because I was overwhelmed when I walked into the theater and saw that theater packed. Can you just talk a little bit about that?
Well, the first thing I want to acknowledge is that the listeners and the audience, they are essentially the ones that actually made the historic event happen. And I and the students and the university are extremely grateful for their support. But the production itself was a labor of love and a lot of hard work. The students were extremely excited about the production when it was announced. There was a lot of collaboration going on internally. The Fine Arts Department helped create some of the dresses for the Dream Girls themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, music hopped on board, and we, you know, collaborated with musicians, and some of the, you know, vocal students there ended up inside of the production as well. It was a huge undertaking. There were almost 300 costume pieces in that show.
Wow.
Tons of musicians. I think the orchestra ended up being about 30 students. It was conducted by a student who I brought on as a music director to give, you know, him the opportunity to do it. And they're all very hardworking. They're all spirited, excited, disciplined, focused. And that is really the result of what happens. Because we all know, I mean, you can have the best of intentions, best plans, and you might be very skilled as an individual, but the team is what shows itself at a theatrical production such as Dreamgirls. And I was just elated that, you know, that happened. The lady in the box office was the one who brought it up. She was like, we've never had, you know, this type of response to a show and this, that, and the third. And they went back and checked when they did the report. And when it was official, I could not have asked for a better way to cap off my first year here at the university. It was a huge embrace from the community. And that's sort of an understatement.
And I think that's an excellent way of putting it, an embrace from the university. It's almost as if, number one, there were open arms for you to come to the institution, and you certainly moved theater forward, and then there was this embracing of the work of your hands and the work of the students, and we saw a sold-out house on opening night. But see, you're being a little bit modest. Because you need to tell the whole story, because not only did you sell out the first night, what else did you do?
The whole run ended up being sold out, and then we had to add a performance to accommodate
Absolutely.
The demand.
Absolutely. That's remarkable. And that hadn't happened in how long?
Well, I don't know about the adding a show being a necessity, but a sold-out show in and of itself, just a show with 20 years, a sold-out run. I didn't really check into that part about having an actual entire performance run sold out, but I'm sure it would certainly predate 20 years.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that is a remarkable claim to fame right now, just in your first year here at Norfolk State University. Sold out house for every performance. SRO, it was a fantastic evening, a drama. I don't think I've ever enjoyed anything as much, and I've been here, like I said, 20-plus years.
Mm,
and I happen to know that, our former drama director, Dr. Clarence Murray, God bless, rest his soul, he actually did a performance of Dreamgirls, and taking nothing away from what he did or for the theater that he brought to this institution, here is another rendition, if you will, not that it changed anything, but just in terms of the style that you bring to it and the production and the value of that production to this institution. And here you have a sold-out house. What a remarkable accomplishment for your first year.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Listen, radio listeners, if you've got a question for Professor Stockard or for NSU Theater, please give us a call at Spartan Life Radio at 1-347-850-8515. Professor Stockard, another question. Any chance of a do-over for Dreamgirls? People are asking.
It's a possibility. We had already planned next season out, so I don't know that it'll be fit into that. But an encore performance certainly is something that I would strongly consider doing. Maybe not this season, but the season after.
Great, great. So how do you decide what plays or dramas you will produce each year? What's your modus operandi? How do you get that decided?
Well, any good theater program should produce at least 3 shows per year, and that is the number that I toyed with initially when I got here. There was a lot of, we had over 100 people audition for the company, which I was told that the numbers might be smaller than that.
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw the demand, you know, I wanted to give them what they wanted. So we went ahead and moved it to 4 shows. In terms of programming this particular year, I knew that we were building an audience. I knew that everybody might not necessarily be a theater goer. So I had a nice blend of things that they might have heard in school or read in, you know, high school, Raising in the Sun,
right.
A big blockbuster number like Dreamgirls, things that were movies that people would already know, like For Colored Girls. I created a show called A Musical Tribute to Whitney Houston, and I brought in a guest artist for that show to sort of launch the season off. And the shows were basically selected to re-acclimate, reintroduce, draw in the community. And I knew that as long as we had a top-notch, second-to-none product for them to see, that they would understand that just because you don't know the title of a play or have never seen it before,
mm-hmm.
like Dreamgirls or Raising in the Sun or For Colored Girls, that, you know, it doesn't diminish the ability for you to thoroughly enjoy yourself. And
absolutely.
That's sort of the commitment I asked the audience to make. I said, you
absolutely.
Saw these shows before they were movies. You didn't even know they existed as musicals and plays. Most of the audience sort of raised their hand and admitted to that. I said, but what a wonderful night in the theater you had tonight. And they completely agreed, and they've sort of given me their commitment that they will come see if it's called The Lemonade Stand. The title is no longer important. They saw the product. They see how amazing the shows are, how fabulously talented our students are, and they made the commitment to just come support us, and we will put that to the test in season 2 of NSU Theater Company.
Absolutely. I like the whole idea of using, you know, the literature, for instance, from Lorraine Hansberry or Raisin in the Sun, because many students, as you pointed out, have not heard of it. They may not be familiar with the title, but it certainly gives us talking points when we go back into the classroom and we're talking about great literature, people that you may or may not have heard about, and now you see this being brought to life on the stage. And I happened
Absolutely.
To be in the audience when you had Whitney Houston, which was superbly done. Can you talk a little bit about the cast and your process for bringing that to the stage?
Actually, it was a show that I was supposed to do a cabaret show with my students at my former institution. And when we were getting musicians together, we had already scheduled auditions. The announcement of Miss Houston, you know, came across, you know, media, social media. And as we were still thinking about Broadway tunes and things of that nature, we said we should have a segment for Whitney.
Mm-hmm.
So we started out as a segment. And then we said, let's just do the whole show. Let's do a tribute to her. Let's just turn this into a tribute show. And then we had the music, but I felt like it didn't come together. It was just like song, then another song. So then I wrote a script to turn it into sort of an evening or a concert with her. And I've done it about 4 or 5 times at this point, and every time I do it, I swap a couple songs out, tweak with the script. I've had two young ladies play the role of Whitney Houston, who covers all of her songs, which is a huge undertaking. At first, I thought I'd have to chunk it out into segments, but I have been very blessed and fortunate to be in the company of some exceptional vocalists, and there were two that I've been able to work with so far that were able to, you know, come to the task of taking on the entire collection of her musical works.
Well, I want to tell you that after sitting there for about the first 5 or 10 minutes, you know, you're trying to buy into, okay, we know what Whitney Houston looks like, you know, we know what she sounds like, and I'm looking at this performer on stage, and after I buy into this tribute to Houston, I almost forgot that this wasn't, because she did such an excellent job. I mean, the mannerisms,
wow,
the gestures, the inflections in her voice, her attitude, her walk, and absolutely her singing. So I was just blown away by this, as I'm sure so many people were.
Thank you so much. They worked very hard, and she did too. I set the bar pretty high.
Absolutely.
but I'm so lucky, because they don't mind jumping.
Absolutely. Excellent job. Well done. So tell
Thank
us,
you.
What is the lineup looking like for the upcoming season?
Well, I can tell you a couple of things. We have not produced the show on campus yet, but we are in rehearsals and preparing for our first production in the fall, which is called The Brother's Size by Terrell Alvin McCraney.
Mm-hmm.
It is a drama about three young men. Two are brothers, blood brothers, and another is a friend to the younger brother of the two brothers. And it's the traditional, you know, coming of age, transitioning into responsibility and manhood story. The older brother, more responsible, trying to get the younger brother to prepare for his future, his life. They are alone in the world together as brothers.
Mm-hmm.
The friend comes in, you know, not as focused, not as interested in his future, and becomes this sort of temptation to pull him away from the path his brother is trying to get him on. And I don't want to give too much away of the plot,
right,
but it is an epic story, and you really have to see it to understand what happens. But the older brother makes what is probably one of the greatest sacrifices of any man in literature for his younger brother.
Wow.
There's dream sequences inside of them. They have dreams that sort of tell the subtext of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
All of their names come from West African Yoruba culture, from their pantheon of gods, and they sort of take on the qualities of those people, like, you know, with Zeus, the thunderbolt king,
mm-hmm,
Aphrodite, love. They have similar attributes. Ogun is the god of metalwork and technology, so they've taken him and put him in a contemporary setting as a mechanic.
I love it.
And they do that with all of the characters, and we see them as their Orisha. They have very specific regalia and accoutrement inside of the folklore and storytelling of West African European culture, and they appear as their, you know, godlike form inside of the dreams, and
mm-hmm,
then we pop back out of the dreams into contemporary life, and they're walking around in jeans and t-shirts in the middle of the Louisiana bayou talking to each other. It's a wonderful show. The playwright has won the MacArthur Genius Award for writing this play. He's won every major theatrical award, and when he wrote it, he was only 29 years old.
Wow. Wow.
He has been considered to be the new second coming or torchbearer from August Wilson, that sort of strong statement on African-American life, culture, infusing rhythms, music, social commentary, culture inside of the place to make a very dynamic theatrical experience. It is definitely a creative and original work. And as we
it sounds exciting. It sounds wonderful. Now we're going to take Greek life to a whole different level at university life.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it is. It is almost, it is epic in proportion.
Absolutely. Wow. So let me ask you this, because it seems like bringing the richness of this kind of production to the university is about engagement and taking students to obviously that next level. So what is your philosophy when it comes to teaching students about acting or the performing arts? What is it that they need to know?
Well, it depends on the individual, and that. But to try to truncate it to the smallest you know, sort of bullet list. It's about being open, being free, doing research to inform how you interpret the literature, understanding what the characters want. And that's all sort of the preparation part of it. The real, you know, heart and soul of training is teaching young people to have full control over their mind, their emotions, their voice, their body, integrating all of those components into a consistent, repeatable, dynamic, exquisite performance that can be replicated. And, you know, just being a human in the world, walking around trying to find our way, find ourselves as young people, and then trying to, you know, find a way to really speak and communicate in a way that says what we want it to. Those are already natural challenges that we have. But, you know, training young performers, it's really about finding a way to find someone else's truth and be a vessel to tell someone else's story. And to be open enough to receive it, not to judge it, and to push it out there. And in stories like The Brother Size that are so dynamic and original, certainly most students will not have lived the life of these characters, but it's important that there is a level of empathy, of consideration. It's always been my thought that theater just creates better human beings, the training in and of itself. It's not just the skill set. It's not just the career moves. It's not just being able to maintain your instrument. The more characters you pick up, the more stories you tell, the greater the empathy and understanding. And I have never seen an individual who has embraced a training process not also walk away as a better individual in general, more broad thinking. It's an exceptional process to witness, and I am very grateful to have been a part of training, you know, dozens of students, if not hundreds at this point, in that process. And every time it's a new thing. It's a new observation. It's a new moment. Mm. It's a new thing to tackle. We all have the things that we hold in, that we filter, that block us from being our exceptional selves. And theater tackles that. Because if you're a person who blocks, I don't get emotional. I don't do emotion. But this world calls for it, so you're going to do it now. And then that's the work we work on, to breaking and opening and creating a safe space to explore all of that and apply it. And, of course, on a professional level, make it consistent, make it directable, make it so succinct and structured that it can be taken apart by a director and say, no, just replace this moment. What are you doing here? No. Your body's telling me this story. I know that's what you're thinking, but this is kind of, it's a very delicate dance between the director and the actors. And, of course, theater has a very broad scope of non-performance-based things, such as lighting design, sound design, scenic design, costume design, properties design, stage management, theater management. I mean, there's dozens of other positions that are artistic in nature that help support the performances, you know, the costumes that they wear, the selection. What stories do the costumes tell for the actors? If the dress is green, the set can't be green. We don't use green lights, or do we? It's a very intricate collaborative process. Theater is certainly a very dynamic experience, and I try to encourage students, whether you want to be a scenic designer or a performer, dive into all areas, if not for any other reason, to get an appreciation of the responsibilities of the people you work with to create productions. But a lot of times people find secondary interests that they like, all of them very marketable, all of them very employable, and certainly in technical theater, you don't have to look the part. It's about just, do you have talent? There's nothing wrong with that either. So I try to keep them well-rounded.
And then sometimes that talent, it's not realized, or it's kind of dormant. And then by having all of this exposure, it may in fact surface, or they may realize that they have some proclivity for something that they didn't even know they could do.
Absolutely. That is exactly. I've had plenty of designers who become actors who go on successful careers. I've had actors who find stage management or design and go on to do that. It's such a broad scope. You hear theater, most people think performance, but there, you know, even in academia, MFAs, PhD degrees, there's at least 21 focused areas that stem from the area of theater, even as you would, you know, go to seek a terminal degree or a graduate degree. We hear theater, we think performance, but like I said, there's a multitude of possibilities in theater in terms of careers, and I try to help facilitate it as best I can with the help of my technical director, Mr. Lindsay. It's us two, and we're trying to, you know, do the best we can with the students we have and the number of faculty we have to reach as many students as we can and
Absolutely.
Help them with this dream they have.
Absolutely. And a little shout out to Brando Lindsay, who's been doing this for a number of years and has done an excellent job with stage design and moving the students through this process of turning them from neophytes into well-seasoned actors. And we certainly thank him for his service to the university for that.
Absolutely.
And I would imagine that it's not always an easy sell getting young people to realize that they have a safe place in which to express themselves. And as you said, to embrace characters and to tell their stories in voices other than their own. What about those students who are not easy to get that message across to? How do you deal with them?
Well, you know, in my years of doing this, I've discovered that some catch on immediately, some catch on later. Some catch on after. And usually there's those that jump on board, they're ready to go, they roll their sleeves up, and they're just open from the beginning. Mm-hmm. And then there are those who need to see that somebody else has gone through the process, and then they become comfortable with opening themselves up to process. And then there are those who hold on to certain things and are dealing with things. And as we know, personally in life, some things just aren't meant to be dealt with right now. You know, there's a lull, a space where that may or may not need to happen. And that is when I get very aggressive to talking to the student about what they're doing, how they're developing, points that I think are of interest to them to consider as they continue to pursue this, and sometimes should they continue to pursue this, because it is certainly an area where confidence and skill set marry each other, and you function as your own boss, essentially. You are an entrepreneur of sorts, auditioning and booking gigs, interviewing and designing. But I try to handle it by letting those who are a little hesitant see the product of those who were willing to just dive right in. And usually they come around the second time around.
Excellent.
And as I'm here building this program, I also know from other programs that I've worked with, once you create that culture, sometimes you don't even have to say anything. Students see other students, they identify, you know what, that used to be me. They have a little one-on-one, and before you know it, the students are perpetuating openness and creativity amongst themselves. And it's a beautiful thing to watch that cycle be birthed and to ultimately watch other students lead other students to, you know, being more brave, more bold, more open, more creative.
Well, that's excellent. That's excellent. And I certainly want to just say to you that the level of production that we've seen here at Norfolk State University this past season has been superb. And to our listening audience, I want to say if you want a real theatrical experience, if you want to see what theater has become at Norfolk State University, if you want to see young people who are basically doing off-Broadway productions and they're excellent in their craft and in conveying mood and idea and sentiment and creating the emotion and pulling you into that experience where you can lose yourself for an hour and a half to 2 hours, please come and support theater at Norfolk State University, because we have reached a whole different level in the production value that has been taking place here and in terms of producing young people who really understand what it means to be a performer. The productions here have been excellent. That said, let me just ask you now, because I'm sure people want to know about this, about your latest venture with the 2015 National Black Theater Festival. There's some excellent news coming out here, but your production of The Brothers' Sighs will be a part of the festival this year. Is that right?
That is correct. The National Black Theater Festival is certainly the largest, perhaps the most renowned theater festival for African Americans, certainly in the country, but is a respected event nationally just in general. Mm-hmm. It only happens once every other year, and hundreds of professional companies submit to be considered for selection. You could liken it to the Sundance Film Festival. Everybody submits, but only a select few are selected to be included inside of the film festival, and that is true of the National Black Theater Festival.
Now, wait. I need you to say that one more time. That's important. Say that again, please.
The selection process is very much similar to Sundance Film Festival.
Yes.
Hundreds of people submit their films to Sundance, and hundreds of people submit their theatrical productions to the National Black Theater Festival. And what happens is a screening committee goes through and they sift through all the productions, and then they pick the productions that they think are worthy of being presented under their banner, under their name, at a festival, much like Sundance. And I'm also, you know, glad to say that there is very, very, very selective filtering for university productions to be selected, because these are professional companies. And this year there are only two universities that have been selected, and we are one of those two.
Excellent. Excellent. So you have put us on the map.
Well, we have put us on the map. I would be remiss if I didn't acknowledge, you know, other people who have helped. I mean, we had our annual awards banquet, it's the first annual, but we acknowledged plenty of people in the community, former professors of theater, some of their wives, communications and marketing. It's impossible to produce theater as an individual, certainly of the quality that we are producing. And I'm just grateful to be a part, as you stated earlier, of this particular moment, of this particular mm-hmm. renaissance, mm-hmm. Not just in theater, but the entire university. But I am very elated to have been selected to sort of lead this charge. But it's certainly, National Black Theater Festival is a huge honor. You know, earlier this year we did a Raise It in the Sun, and the Kennedy Center sent representatives to respond to the show and sent glowing reviews back from
wow.
the production.
Wow.
Some of the students were selected as a National Irene Ryan nominees, and those are, you know, it's a national award from the Kennedy Center programming. And these are literally, I mean, the National Black Theater Festival, the Kennedy Center's American College Theater Festival, and the year before, no, it was the summer before, the National Association for Speech and Dramatic Art, NASA, we participate in all three. This is the first for the National Black Theater Festival, and it's the first for the American College Theater Festival. But, you know, theater has shown itself well this year at the very highest level of scrutiny for collegiate theater. ACTF, the American College Theater Festival, is actually the highest level. It is a national effort for collegiate theater. That's for graduate and undergraduate students. But the National Black Theater Festival is really for professionals. And mm-hmm. to be selected from one or two universities to go, it says tons about what we have accomplished this year.
Well, it speaks volumes. And if I'm going to take a stab at this. You said the Irene Ryan Award. Is that the same Irene Ryan from the Beverly Hillbillies who played Ryan?
It is. A lot of people don't know this, but almost any star, and I mean star, not ooh, they were good in that one movie. I mean stars with careers. They all come from the theater.
Even
the people who come over here from London, you know, over there, you know, in you know, across the pond, as they say, you know, theater to them is like going to a movie. It is thoroughly integrated into their cultural education and understanding of the world and exposure to the arts. And over here, it doesn't have as such a prominence, but, you know, there is no, even with the National Black Theater Festival, the people who have been on the board have included Sidney Poitier, Ruby Dee. Currently, right now, Denzel Washington, Morgan Freeman are on the board.
Wow.
And most people wouldn't think that they'd be a part of this, but they all come from the theater. It is the requisite training ground for people who want careers as performers.
How about that? Well, you know what? One of the people on that board, Sidney Poitier, he is the one who actually inspired me to teach. His movie, To Throw It Love, impacted my life as a young man so much that, oh, my God, I owe that man. So I owe him dinner, steak dinner, absolutely. But this isn't about me. This is about you. And I'm sure with all this talk about the Brother Size and the National Black mm-hmm. Theater Festival, you're going to have people lining up. So can you tell me, when will auditions be scheduled for the fall semester, and how mm-hmm. does that process work?
Well, we Brother Size has been cast for the summer because we have to present in August. And the first show on the docket, as I said, in September, we'll be presenting The Brother Size. The week after that show, which I believe is the second or third week of September, we will be holding auditions. After that, you know, we spoke earlier about, you know, encore possibilities. We are going to do a special homecoming performance of the Whitney Houston musical tribute in Wilder.
Great.
We're going to kick off the homecoming week in Wilder. I don't say a date, but I'll just tell you that they can look for homecoming program. I don't want to misquote anything. But we are the very first day of homecoming week. We will do an encore performance there. And auditions will be open for those roles as well. We will be bringing, you know, back the same lady to play Whitney, but all the other roles are open. And in November, the weekend of Thanksgiving, I believe Thanksgiving is on Thursday, we are going to present Langston Hughes' Black Nativity, which is a huge holiday celebration.
Yes.
It's done in every major market in the country annually. Some, you know, creeping up on 40 and 50 and 60th annual presentations of the show. And I know that it has been done sporadically in this area, but I hope to institute it as a Hampton Roads, Norfolk State University, NSU Theater Company annual event in, you know, the Norfolk Hampton Roads region. And that will be you know, everybody will get themselves nice and full with turkey on Thanksgiving
That's
Day.
Right. That's
and
right.
And while everybody's out shopping and looking for things to do that weekend, we are going to present what's going to be a second to none presentation of Black Nativity. It's a huge
talking
show.
About,
with
yeah,
the
creating your own tradition. Singing. Creating your own tradition and giving people something to look forward to as part of that celebration of giving thanks and understanding about cultural heritage and diversity. Oh, I mean, it's a wonderful, wonderful idea. Excellent idea.
And then after Black Nativity in February, I'm sort of debating what that is going to be. I have to make a decision very soon. I'm debating a comedy or, you know, a more historical piece, since it is, you know, Black History Month. But a comedy is something that has not been in the repertoire this year and next year. I just sort of want to get it in the mix of things, to, you know, because it's a play that deals with education. It deals with the structure of the school system, but it puts it in a comedic context. But it really speaks to, you know, the future and needs and desires of our young people in high school and what they're going through and what they are seeking. But it is a laugh out loud, just romp, and it's a really nice piece. The other piece that is being considered is, of course, the classic by August Wilson, Fences.
Absolutely.
And I'm not sure which one we'll do, but that's what we're looking at. So those are the shows and those are the roles. So whether people want to do poetry for Black Nativity, or if they're a gospel singer, or if they're a musical theater person, if they want to act, if they want to sing, if they want to dance, if they want to do comedy, if they want to do drama, this season has something for everyone. And Black Nativity, we're going to present it as a community celebration. It will be officially presented and directed and sponsored by NSU Theater Company, but it is going to be NSU's Christmas gift to Hampton Roads. Anybody can audition. Anybody can be a part of the show, kids, adults, anybody. If there's teams and groups that just want to be a part and have a little piece in the action, give a segment, it's going to be a very, very huge, beautiful, wonderful celebration of the holidays and as you said, hoping to start a new tradition, a new
Absolutely.
Reason why people should come to our gorgeous campus and see what's going on.
Well, for you personally, and let me ask you this, because I know with the production and what you're trying to bring to the university and to the community and to Norfolk's the city of Norfolk in and of itself, you know, it's this experience, this cultural immersion that perhaps sometimes we don't really appreciate or take advantage of. And here we have it right here on our own doorstep. But what is your takeaway? What's the best thing for you about working with students in these productions?
It keeps me sharp, certainly. the biggest measure of what you know, I believe, is what you can thoroughly communicate or teach, set upon someone else. But I love being a part of, like I said before, even when you asked me about, you know, coming to the university, watching things grow, being a part of planting seeds and watching them grow. And I never have to go to work and wonder whether or not my day is going to be of use, of benefit, or make a difference in the community I exist in. I never have to question that. And waking up and knowing that I'm doing that and being a part of the life, and they're wonderful students. They're wonderful. Even when they're frustrated and mad, we've all been there. And it's all a result of trying and wanting and figuring things out. And I feel blessed and honored and extremely grateful to be in a place where I get to do what I absolutely love to do with students who are brilliant, willing, and talented, and creating a new dynamic, a new thread, a new sect inside of the cultural offerings of the Hampton Roads region, with the full support of the university, of my colleagues. You know, one thing that keep all of us going is when, you know, your peers let you know that what you're doing is, you know, useful, successful, helpful, enjoyable. And no one has hesitated to share their enthusiasm. And I have been feeding off of what has been a beautiful ride of encouragement and support this whole, you know, initial inaugural year for the theater company and for myself as the new director of theater.
Excellent. Let me ask you this, and I'm going to switch gears just a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And this is for those on the outside looking in, those who watch the productions, and I've certainly been one of those. Is show business really as glamorous as it appears?
Well, I would say that it depends on how you interpret process.
Mm-hmm.
Some people want attention and glamour, so that feeds and fuels their hustle and desire to be seen. And to those people, I would say that, you know, they've sort of missed the point, and usually it's evidenced by people burning out, seeking attention instead of doing what they love. But it has been my experience, both professionally, personally, in academia, that, you know, those that do because they love usually enjoy a much more glamorous experience. They usually generate better quality, better product. And for those who live to be in front of the audience, telling stories, performing, it is certainly glamorous. And to those who get the opportunities to be of note, to be seen, to be the celebrities, to be iconic, you know, in their areas, certainly it is. It's absolutely, positively, certainly. With attention, you know, there's always the good and the bad of it. And it really, you know, as I said, it depends on the individual and how they handle their newfound attention. Sometimes, you know, people move forward, and they move forward very gracefully. Sidney Poitier will always be somebody who's revered because of how classy. Felicia Rashad, Ruby Dee, you know, all of them have this, this, you know, regal nature about themselves. And then there are others who I just won't name, but they don't necessarily carry such a wonderful, you know, ambiance about themselves and what they do.
Right. Listen, I'd like you to give us all just a quick 1 minute response, if you can do that, and just let us know what differences have you noticed between theatrical productions of the past and of today, because when you talk about how regal Ruby Dee and Sidney Poitier and others were, and then we look at maybe some more modern-day actors and what the comparisons or contrast might be, what would you say to that?
I would say that much like any other medium or culture, technology has been the biggest impetus to mold and shape a new type of theater in the society we live in, and even with performances that have been rendered. You know, with so much what most people and I certainly consider overexposure to the world during the course of a day with technology now, you have to find new ways to stimulate interest in more modern plays that are supposed to be edgy, thrilling, the new thing. But, you know, stories, actors, plays from, you know, just a short while ago or long ago, they had a much more primal mode of storytelling, sticking to love, to new life, to overcoming, to advancement, to struggle. Those are themes and ideas that were at the core of any story, regardless of who was writing them. Coming to the theater to see the spectacle and to see performances that were very much full-bodied, visceral, intense. I feel like with the advent of some of social media, you can become a celebrity overnight, be it, you know, a couple thousand fans or, you know, tens of thousands of fans on your channel or your page. And I think it's sort of watered down the perspective of what it takes to really give memorable performances that ingrain themselves in people's minds to the point where decades later, somebody calls up a name such as you, Sidney Poitier, and can remember the power of a performance. I don't think that many people carry that type of weight, power, and authority of their craft, and not as a slight, but just as an adjustment in the ever-changing world. But all things come back to themselves, and we shift and change and find a lot of familiar things inside of the new thing once the dust settles. And I'm pretty sure that, you know, as we see Viola Davis and How to Get Away with Murder or Scandal or these other TV series shows that are starting to bring to front much more grit, much more dramatic qualities. And, you know, everything comes in cycles. Fashions fade, all that stuff. And I'm very glad to be, you know, seeing the turn to go back to legitimate skill, passion, storytelling. And I would say that we're coming into a place where a lot of those memorable performances will be rendered. You know, I saw Cicely Tyson on Broadway in A Trip to Bountiful, and I will never forget that performance. I will never, ever forget that performance. And she was just, she was amazing in the show, you know, so she just took my breath away. But there are some younger people I've seen in shows and regional theaters and things like that, and they've done exceptional jobs as well. But I just think that the performance factor of what it takes, the depth, how far you push yourself, sort of got watered down there a little bit. But I see things shoring themselves back up.
Well, listen, thank you for sharing that. We are almost out of time, and I just want to say to the listeners that you can get more information about Norfolk State University Theater at nsutheater.com. And you can listen to this episode of Spartan Life Radio on demand at blogtalkradio.com/Spartan Life. I want to thank you, Professor Stockard, for joining us today. Certainly what you have shared has been informative, and I think it has given us a new idea of what theater has been, is, and will be. And we certainly appreciate your efforts, and I really hope that you'll come back on the show soon.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm very grateful for you all having me.
Well, listen, I want to say to all of you out to listen to this episode or previous ones on demand at radio. We want you to visit nsu.edu for more information about Norfolk State University. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Flickr, YouTube, and Tumblr. I want to thank you all for tuning in and for logging on. And please make a comment today to stand with NSU. Also, I want to leave you with this. In order not to be one of those who is deceitfully in the dark of night, let's talk honestly in the light of day. I am Michael Cotter, your host for today. I want to thank you for joining us on Spartan Talk Radio. This is From the Inside Out.